Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's topic is, you are how you eat. I often refer to our bodies as machines when I'm discussing nutritional concepts. I think this is a good comparison because we ask our bodies to perform tasks throughout the day, to do work like a machine would do work. But we also have to fuel our bodies like we'd fuel a machine. We have to repair and do maintenance on our bodies, just like we have to do repair and maintenance on a machine. There's the phrase, you are what you eat. But how many of us really pay attention not only to the quality of what we eat, but also in the way in which we eat? Pay attention to how we eat. We know we should avoid junk food, but we still sneak it in from time to time. We know we should eat more food during the day when we're super busy, but we feel too busy to do so, leading us to instead pack in all the food at night, and we wonder why we have body fat. We have a good idea as to what we should do, but we rarely stop our bad habits and actually do the right stuff. Why is that? Because we don't really have a direct realization of how important that correct stuff really is. We don't see the damage we're doing now and believe ourselves to be immune to the consequences of the bad actions in the future. There's probably some deep-rooted psychological reason as to why we often feel immune to bad things in life. It would be kind of crushing and depressing if we really thought everything could happen to us. So why we constantly have the feeling of, yeah, I know I should do, you know, X, Y, and Z, but I'll start tomorrow. Why we always believe there will be a tomorrow, and why we always believe that starting tomorrow will be good enough. But is it? Will starting tomorrow really save us from the bad decisions we're making today? Again, if we think of our bodies as machines, what effect does, for example, skipping breakfast have on our body? What effect would starting a machine up and running it without first fueling it have on the machine? Without first looking over all the fluids, maybe the greasing that's needed for the moving parts, without first checking to see how the machine is going to run. If we just get in our car every day and assume everything will work as it should, does it? Actually, yes. So for quite a while, our car will actually run pretty much okay without us really checking it over. Sure, we know we need to put fuel in the car. We have a gauge that tells us that on our screen, on the dashboard in front of us. And that tells us kind of when it's necessary to put fuel. We have a similar thing in our body, hunger. So we get hungry, and that's our signal to put fuel in. But pretty much from there, we wait to do anything else until a warning light on the dashboard in our car comes up, or until we see the mileage sticker in the corner of the windshield, maybe getting close for the next oil change. But even then, do you take your car in right at that mileage marker, or do you address the issue as soon as the light comes up on their dashboard? Usually not. So I've gotten in people's cars and there's lights all over the dashboards and they're like, oh yeah, that came on months ago, but nothing ever happened. How do you know? So, and if we're getting an oil change, they're like, yeah, I should have had it then, but I've kind of been busy. You know, I don't have the time to go take my car and do this, or I don't have the time to do that. We usually wait until there's a bit of fear kind of building up inside of us that says, well, if I keep pushing this off, maybe something bad's going to happen. And then we finally do something about it. For some people, we treat our vehicles like we treat our bodies. We give it the minimum attention it needs to appear to be running okay. But that's about it. And although for some of you listening, though, you are a car enthusiast, you love your vehicle, and you wouldn't dare dream to forget the oil change. You actually probably excited by it. You do it yourself, and you try to do it early. And you do whatever the heck else is needed to make a car run. Change spark plugs and I don't know. I'm not a car person other than this analogy, so I don't really know what it takes. I just take it to the garage. But for you, you love your car. You treat it well. Do you treat your body the same way? In this podcast, I wanted to cover the top three mistakes I see people make when it comes to how they eat. And that affects their overall health, not only of the body itself, but their overall energy, performance, and mood. So mistake number one. This is the good stuff, so hopefully you're still awake and paying attention. Mistake number one is mismatched food intake to activity level. So we have covered this topic a lot over the past 70-some podcasts, starting with our very first podcast, which was titled, I Eat Healthy But I Can't Lose Weight. In that podcast, we discussed the same nutritional mistake of not matching your eating to your activity level. When it comes to weight maintenance, weight loss, or weight gain, so when you want to do something with your weight, calories in versus calories out is the most important factor. But there's more to the story than just calories. Calories may be the superhero of the story, but as we all know, superheroes don't act alone. They often have sidekicks or some kind of regular human being helper that comes in the very last second to kind of save the day. And they usually have some type of a support system around the hero. Maybe fellow heroes that help them out, maybe a couple regular people in their life that kind of help keep them grounded. So if it's a male superhero, there's always like that hot chick that is kind of like the love interest. Then they usually have some dad, father figure that kind of gives them wisdom. So there's that support system and there's people around them. And it's true that the hero is the star. The superhero is the star of the story. But there is that supporting cast as well. One of the important members of the supporting cast when it comes to nutrition is meal timing, which refers to the timing of your caloric intake. So calories in versus calories out is a superhero, but meal timing is absolutely important. So just like one of those supporting characters. It's true that calories in and versus calories out controls weight change, but what controls the quality of the weight being changed? What determines if that change comes most optimally from fat loss and not muscle loss? What controls if we have good energy levels throughout the day? What controls if we have cravings? What controls the quality of our performance during our workouts, which directly controls our progress in training, our progress with our body? So if I don't have good workouts, I'm not going to have a good change in my body stimulus. So I'm not going to get the most results out of my workouts. So calories in versus calories out is important, but it's absolutely not alone. It's not the only factor. If you want to control all of the other aspects involved in weight loss or weight gain or weight maintenance, you're just trying to change body composition. If you want to control those other factors, such as energy levels, cravings, the quality of your performance in your workouts and whatnot, then you're going to need to look at meal timing. And it's probably the most common mistake I see people make. People don't eat when they're busy, and they create a deficit of energy output compared to their intake. And then when they slow down, their body registers that deficit and tries to refill it. But their body isn't programmed to only refill it back to 100%. The body views the deficit as a potential harm. What if that deficit had been any bigger? Would the body have been able to survive? The body feels that fear, so it aims to refill the deficit over what was needed, what was there before. So the next time that deficit is created again, it'll have better protection. And thus we find ourselves in an under-eating, overeating cycle pattern, which leads to weight gain over time. So we under-eat when we're busy, then we overeat, significantly overeat when we're not busy, and that leads to body fat. How many of us have experienced being super busy to the point we miss a meal? Then, to only stuff ourselves at the next meal to the point we feel uncomfortable and fully aware that we overate for that meal. We've all done that, right? Well, what do you think the body did with that extra food? Sure, it may not have held on to all of it, but it definitely kept enough to refill what you had missed, and it actually keeps a little more above that. So that's how we get body fat. That's what body fat is. It's stored extra calories for when our body is in a future deficit. It's like a protection mechanism for our body. So that way it has enough energy regardless of whether we eat or don't eat. So if you learn to eat healthy in the manner that your eating matches your activity level, you're going to find that your body does not have the desire to hold as much excess body fat around. It doesn't feel it's necessary. Therefore, it'll allow you to remain leaner over time. You'll have lower amounts of body fat. So that's one of the major benefits of meal timing, is to avoid under-eating, overeating cycles that cause you to gain weight, and to better match your caloric intake versus output at the timing needed, so that way your body doesn't feel the desire to store and keep as much body fat as it typically does, or as it does with bad habits. So, what you can do to help this is listen to podcast number 72, titled Whoops, I'm Too Busy to Eat. And that'll give you ideas on how to eat when you're super busy. That way you can better match your caloric intake to your caloric output. Okay, so that's mistake number one. Mistake number two is giving the body the wrong foods at the wrong times. This refers to people not understanding what specific food does in their body, meaning they'll eat a meal after a workout, believing it's going to help them recover from the workout, but the meal will contain like little to no protein. And that's what the muscles need to repair. So they have eaten a meal, thinking they're helping their recovery, but they aren't paying attention to what's actually in the meal. So they're actually not getting any recovery at all. So I was talking with a client recently who regularly runs 10 miles a day or more. That's crazy. First of all, I've never run more than 6 miles in my life at one time. So I can't imagine running 10, and definitely not every day. I'd probably die. But they want to build strength and muscle along with their running. So they run ultra marathons, but they do understand and know that increasing strength will help their durability for their runs. And that's true. But their post-running meal, their recovery meal, was 4 ounces of chicken breast and an apple. I'm pausing for direct effect here so you can kind of understand the significance there. So they're running 10 plus miles, and then their recovery meal was a chicken breast and an apple. That's barely enough food to recover from the first mile, let alone over 10 miles. So too often people think they're doing the right thing, but when you look into what they're actually doing, when you look into the details, they only have part of the puzzle put together. Sure, they have protein in the meal, but it's not enough compared to their actual needs. So for example, I've had people tell me that they have protein for breakfast, and they refer to Special K protein cereal, which has a whopping 7 grams of protein. Whoop-de-freaking-do. So they're eating 3 meals a day, and only in one of their meals, they're only having 7 grams of protein. That is ridiculously not even close to enough. So, but when you ask them, how much protein do you need? The people rarely have an answer. So they tell you, hey, this has protein, yay, but they have no clue whether it's the right amount. That doesn't make any sense. So it might make me feel good to have $500 in my wallet, but if I have a $5,000 bill coming up, that $500 is not good enough. So you want to make sure that you know what you're doing. You have to know the details. And that's only one example. There are dozens of examples I come across every week when talking with people about their nutrition. They often tell me something they're doing because they're proud of themselves, but what they're actually doing isn't addressing the full issue, and it's kind of like a twisted version of what the real thing should be. So I have another example. A lady who eats a very small breakfast, maybe only 200 or 300 calories. Then she does a little bit of errands in the morning, and then about 2 to 3 hours later after that meal, she drinks a pre-workout caffeine balm and trains for 1 to 2 hours of really high-intensity training. But then, the whole rest of the day, she avoids all carbohydrates, eats very minimal fats, because she doesn't want to gain body fat. So, she's doing all of this activity with pretty much no food intake whatsoever. So what do you think is happening? So the caffeine masks the misery of her being underfueled, but it's essentially giving her body nothing to work out with. And what's the result? She's not getting any stronger in her training, she's not building muscle, and she still has a skinny fat look with kind of thin extremities and a pudgy and thick midsection. That is definitely not the result she wants. So learning what carbs actually do in her body, understanding that carbs might actually be helpful for her when they're eating at the right time and the right amount. That would actually be able to give her more strength, more muscle, more energy throughout her day. She wouldn't have to rely on caffeine for energy, which would allow her to improve her quality of sleep, and that'll improve her mood and her energy levels during the overall day, and her life would be so, so much better. She's eating freaking nothing and then surprised why her body is not changing. You're eating nothing, you're going to get nothing. That's the way it works. So don't be like that. Don't let your lack of understanding what food does in the body hold you back from living your best life. And worst of all, the information for that kind of stuff is totally free and totally available pretty much everywhere, even in our podcasts. So go listen to podcast number 21, 29, and 33. And you can learn about carbs, fats, and proteins. Learn what they do in your body, when you should have them, and how much you should have. Stop guessing. And worst of all, people don't even recognize they're guessing. Make sure you actually know what the hell you're doing, okay? So you have to know the parameters of what is good to know if what you're doing is good. Don't just lie to yourself and believe you're doing the right thing. Learn everything you need, learn the details, and make sure you're doing it right. Okay. Mistake number three, the last one we're going to go over, is where to focus healthy eating efforts. So I think I just said efforts, but I meant efforts. So there's no H there. And finally, that is the last big mistake, is where people put their efforts into when it comes to healthy eating. So very rarely do people actually start in the right place. So if you listen to podcast number 41, titled Diet Right, What Matters Most, it covers what is the most important stuff in a diet in the order it's actually important, which is very helpful. So it discusses that overall calories are the most important. Then it is what's next important is whether you're having enough protein, carbs, and fats in your diet. And it's making sure you're having enough. That's just as important as making sure you're not overeating. And then it addresses meal timing. So like we said, that activity in versus activity, like food in versus activity, all that stuff, that's important. And then the quality of the food you eat, whether something's organic or not, for example, and then everything else. So when people try to eat healthy, they start way the heck down the list and they try to just eat grass-fed, organic, you know, blah, 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 blah. But they don't ever address how much they're eating. They don't address whether they're having enough protein, carbs, or fats. They usually have no freaking clue what food involves each of those nutrients, and they don't change anything about when they eat. So they're looking at like number four down the list. That's where they're putting all their money at. So if I told you that you're going to go to a horse race and bet on the fourth fastest horse, that'd be pretty damn dumb, right? You would not want to put a lot of money into that. You would not want to invest a lot of your emotion, time, and energy into that, right? You're not going to bet on the fourth fastest horse. That's stupid. We all know that. So why in the world are you putting your nutrition efforts in the fourth most important thing? That is also stupid. We also know that. So go listen to podcast number 41. Find out what the fastest horse is and put your money there. Then bet on the second fastest horse just in case. Then bet on a third. And then finally bet on a fourth. So don't bet on the fourth fastest horse first. That doesn't make any sense. Okay, so this is probably getting a little mean here towards the end, but it might be a good wake-up call for some people. So what you want to think of here is if you are quote-unquote eating right, that's what you think, but you're not seeing the results you want, then you are most definitely not eating right. Proper diets work. It's fact. It's science. If your diet isn't working, then something is wrong with it. Not you. You are not so special that food does something special and different in your body compared to every other person on the planet. You are not that special. So if your diet isn't working, you need a new diet. You need to look into what you're doing and make sure it actually makes sense. Okay? So look into the podcast that we've told you about and make sure you have it set up correctly. Okay? So how you eat affects how you feel, how you look, and how you perform. You can't give little to no attention to anything in life and actually get away with it for long. So make sure you're giving full attention to your diet. If you're going to do something half-ass, it's worth putting your whole ass in, okay? So go learn everything you can about it and make sure you're doing things the right way. So hopefully this was helpful. I got a little bit grumpy here at the end. Sorry about that. But maybe it woke you up to some things. So if you want more information from us, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. At Brutal Iron Gym. If you like the podcast, please share it. The more people we help, the happier the world will be. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggested topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us. This podcast is for you, so tell us what you want to learn about. And you can reach out to us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.